Blog Talk Radio.
Unfortunately, I do not have Bob with me tonight. He's out camping with his kids, and apparently he ate a bad hot dog or something, or I don't know. I told him not to drink that stagnant pond water, but anyways, now he's got the Hershey squirts, and he can't keep anything down to save his life. So I got this show. I'm doing this show solo, and I'm very, very excited tonight. We got an amazing guest. This guy, he was on the Debunker Boys Facebook page. He runs a blog site, and he posted his blog, his latest blog entry, which was called The Fallacy of Democratic Paranormal Sciences. And when I read this, I mean, it literally just made my toes curl, because it is right along the lines of what the Debunker Boys believe in and our mission statement. And I just had to bring him on. I hit him up on Facebook, and this guy is amazing. His name is Chad Stambaugh. Goodness, I'm not even saying it right. Let me bring him on here. it's Stambaugh, correct?
You got it.
Okay. This guy, he's a paranormal researcher himself, a paranormal author. He runs multiple radio shows, and somehow he has a wife and kids, you know, he fits those in there. Oh man, how long you been doing this, Chad?
I've been doing it since 2007.
2007, so not too long.
No, just started in 2000. We've been interested in longer than that, but we actually got started with another local team in 2007. We took the woman's Paranormal 101 class and everything, and then she liked, you know, how we were doing everything. So we went on, you know, got onto her team, and we did stuff with her team for about 2.5 years, and then we decided to move on and create our own team, 11th Hour Paranormal, in late 2009, early 2010. And so we've been doing our own stuff ever since.
Okay. And now when you say we, who are you talking about?
Well, my wife and I were the co-founders of 11th Hour Paranormal. And then we have six other team members that accumulated over the years, last couple of years.
Okay. I was just about to ask, doesn't your wife ever get pissed off that you're not home on Friday, Saturday nights? And she's out there with you.
Yeah. Well, see, we're a lot older. All our kids are grown, so they're out on their own, and we got grandkids. So it's just us at home. So we have more than enough time just to go out and do these things. And so I have enough time to write my books, do my radio shows, and my blogs.
Yeah. So what did you do before you started hunting for ghosts and that sort of thing?
I'm a retired Marine.
Oh, wow. I'm medically retired Army here.
Okay. Yeah, I did 20 years in the Marine Corps, retired.
I did read that in your bio. Why, you know, I didn't even think to state that. And you've written two books. You wrote the Paranormal Dictionary and goodness, what was the other one?
The first one was Paranormal
I'm
Investigations.
Sure. Paranormal Investigations. And like, what brought you to the fact that you were like, I need to write this. I need people to hear what. I mean, every paranormal investigator wants people to hear what they have to say. You know, their opinions on the paranormal field. But you actually wrote a book, and it was nominated. Your first book was nominated for. As it took second in paranormal literature, correct?
Correct.
And your
took
other
place
book.
At the Paranormal Awards in 2013.
Wow, that's quite an honor.
Yeah, then my Paranormal
Go
Dictionary, actually this year actually won the non-literary Book of the Year at the 2014 Paranormal Awards.
Wow. That's got to make you feel good, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It, you know, it gives you, or it gives me anyway, that a recognition that, you know, what I'm doing is being accepted and approved out there. Because the reason I write these books is I get a lot of training, teachings, whatever you want to call it, from a lot of other people in the paranormal field that's been in it longer than me. I've been in a lot of my mentors have been in it for like 20 years plus. So I just felt, and the reason I wrote the first book, Paranormal Investigation, is because there was other books like it out there, but a lot of the people were so scientific that it was going right over the normal paranormal investigator's head for them, you know, to understand it, unless they got a PhD in, you know, metaphysics or scientific or, you know, engineering, they're not going to understand it. So I wrote the first one in layman's terms so that, you know, the normal guy like you and me can understand, you know, what I'm talking about when I talk about, you know, the different pieces of equipment that you use in a paranormal investigation and how you're supposed to properly use it.
Uh-huh. It's people call it a pseudoscience and everything. But I guess when you actually know what the equipment is meant for and what it does, you can put it to better use.
Right. I mean, yeah, this is a pseudoscience.
Yeah. I find that actually the equipment that I use, that a lot of paranormal investigators use, it's better used for debunking paranormal occurrences rather than proving them. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. Not one piece of paranormal equipment, except for maybe a couple of the things that I can't even remember his name right now. He works with the Ghost Hunter team, but not really any piece of equipment that we use in the paranormal field is actually made for paranormal investigating. They were all built and used for other purposes. So you have to understand those other purposes and why those machines were made and use them in their real time frame or, you know, what they were used for to be able to debunk whatever's going out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't debunk it anymore, then maybe it is paranormal or anomalous.
Oh, most definitely. One piece of equipment that really kind of, you know, I'm on the edge about it because I've gotten some interesting things from it that I can't explain other than possible pareidolia. And actually just about a month ago we had Rob Demarest from Ghost Hunters International on, and he just trash talked the hell out of this piece of equipment. the ghost box. He calls it the scanning radio. He does not see it as valid, and this and that. And, you know, a lot of paranormal investigators literally base all of their evidence, base their entire investigation off this ghost box. And
you can't do that.
No, not at all.
I mean, the original Frank's box, yes, it goes off radio frequencies, and it is debatable on what you're actually getting through it, whether you're actually getting, you know, radio signals from different radio shows or if you're actually getting something paranormal. We, personally, my team, we don't use a ghost box. We actually have a SB7 ITC machine that does the same thing as the early Frank's box, but we use it in reverse phonetics, so that way if we do get something clear through the SB7, we pretty much can probably say 70% of it is probably something anomalous or paranormal, because it's hard for radio frequencies to come through when you have reverse phonetics come back, you know, come through and talk like you and me are talking.
Mm-hmm. But then you get the what I said, pareidolia, where your mind makes sense of senseless information, you know, that sort of thing. How do you guys get past that?
Well, what we do is we hear something when we're doing our playback, when we do our reveals and everything. Each member, when we're listening to it, each member will write what they hear on a piece of paper. We don't say it out loud. And then we kind of, you know, look at each what each other's person have. If we can get at least a majority of the people coming with the same thing, then, you know, then we kind of look at it and say, well, maybe that's what it's saying. Because if you all say out, it's like, you know, like you said, pareidolia or the suggestion of the mind. If one person comes down and say, oh, I heard ghost, well, then everybody else is going to hear ghost.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
But if
you know what?
Right,
I'm applauding you right now. You know, you passed the Debunker Boy stamp of approval. That's actually what I was looking for. So that's awesome. Yeah. That's what I said.
We love to debunk everything or find a natural explanation before we will call it paranormal.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many crazies we have call in who are ghost box junkies, you know, that sort of thing. They literally believe up and down that their house is haunted, and they will post 100, 200 videos on YouTube of them doing ghost box sessions, of them, you know, doing spirit, you know, whatever, EVP sessions in their own home, and they have nothing to go off of.
See, that's the problem. They're trying to use one piece of one piece of device for their evidence. You can't do that because, like you said, you can debunk that so easily. When I do any of my trainings or my lectures and stuff and my team, we go by what I call the rule of three. If we don't have three different pieces of evidence corroborating each other, for example, we have we have mediums on our team. Okay, so we part of our team is scientific and part of our team is metaphysical. So we do have mediums on our team. But for an example, if we get a medium that says, "I just felt somebody touch me," or "I felt somebody pulling my hair," the first thing my team members are trained to do is start taking pictures around that medium. We also start doing EVP sessions. And we will also have video backing it up. So if we're doing all that and she says, okay, I felt something, and then we turn around and we get a Class A EVP during our session interacting that, you know, their answer back, did you touch, you know, my team member's hair or touch them? And we get a Class A EVP saying yes. And then we also get maybe a picture or video of the medium's hair being moved or something like that. Now we've got three different pieces of corroborating evidence together that's, you know, backing each other up during that instance. And that's very hard to debunk. But if you only have one piece, you're only doing spirit box sessions, yeah, you can debunk that all day.
That's beautiful. That's music to my ears. I really wish Robert was here to hear you. This is amazing. This is a great show. I don't know how many times we've had kooks on this show. And I don't know how many times I got to repeat this, but it is still funny every time I say it. We had this one guy on his. He claimed to be a reverend. He got his ordainship online, paid us $5 or whatever, and suddenly he believed he was the right hand. Yeah, he believed he was the right hand of God to help spirits cross over into the light, but only on Mondays in his house. He said he crossed thousands of spirits over every Monday in his house, and it made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And he, you know, I argued with this guy for so long, but he could not come up with any tangible evidence or reason.
I'm here.
Is that a child at your house, or?
Yeah, it's my grandson. He just walked in the room.
Oh, okay. I thought we were hearing a spirit kid or something.
No, my oldest daughter and my grandson came over for the evening, and he just walked in while I was doing my show.
Oh, that's okay. He sounds adorable.
Well, thank
but,
you.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, we have crazies on this show all the time. And it's a breath of fresh air to hear somebody who has some scientific backing, who believes in what they do, but not afraid to say a piece of evidence is organic if it is.
Oh yeah, I mean we've done over 150 cases since we've started, and. You know, I'd say a good 75% we've been able to find a natural reasoning for whatever their person's paranormal activity is.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the craziest method, the craziest thing you've ever tried to capture evidence?
The craziest thing?
Yeah.
Everything we do, I wouldn't say it crazy. Because like I said, it's either metaphysical or scientific. I can't say anything that would be crazy. I don't know, because we
No,
use,
I
we
just
use
mean
different
like
ICC. Go ahead.
I just meant like out there, like I've heard of investigators actually stripping down bare nude to try to get something to interact. People try Aracuse, that sort of thing.
Oh my God!
You know,
no. You know another guy out here in California that does that. No, we don't do any kinky crap like that. That's so unprofessional. I'm a retired Marine. I'm very professional in everything I do, from my writing to my investigating. Yeah, we don't do any quack stuff like that.
Well, you know, with this being an unknown field, like everything is new. You know, I still have yet to get to the blog entry. But everything that we do is experimental. So, you know, who's to say one way works and one way doesn't work? You know, everybody's got
their...
How do
you think that being naked and doing an investigation is going to make it any better?
You know what? Yeah, I'm not trying to judge here.
I mean, I'm 51 years old. Yes, I'm a retired Marine, but I left my body go a little bit, and if I tried to do an investigation naked, the spirits would probably run away from looking at me.
I hear you on that. I hear you on that. No, actually, and we get all kinds of crazy things. I actually had a guest call in and tell me she thought her house was haunted because her adult toy turned on by itself. And you know, I hear all the crazy things, you know, the most ridiculous things out there. You know, I just had to ask if there's anything, you know, unconventional that you have tried. But
no, I mean, if the toy was turning on all by itself, that could be a couple of different reasons. One, the on-off switch may have not been turned all the way to off, and sometimes some of the toys out there, especially the new ones being made, if the battery is starting to go down and go dead, it's going to have a short term, right before it goes dead, it has a short term real hard burst of energy to get all its energy out. And sometimes that will actually trigger a toy object to turn on. And people don't know this. You got to look into things scientifically.
Yeah, I just thought it was hilarious. Like when I heard that, you know, and then after that caller, I got someone commented, "We're like the goodness, what's his name? God, I cannot even remember. Why can't I ever remember his name? But anyways, yeah. After that one, we." people were just laughing their ass off, and we got so many comments after that caller. But let's get to your blog post. People are like, "Well, what's her number?" But anyways, let's get to your blog. Chad actually runs a website where you can find a lot of his information. It's called chadsprofession.com. You can find his books on Amazon.com. You got the, goodness, the paranormal, oh, goodness. I forgot. Why do I keep forgetting your first book? The paranormal investigation. And you've got the Paranormal Dictionary. Both can be found on Amazon for sale. And it looks like a really good read. I'm looking at the Paranormal Dictionary right now. It's got amazing reviews on it. One review says, "I would not recommend this. This author plagiarized Jeff Bellinger's Paranormal Encyclopedia." What do you have to kind of counteract that?
Well, you know who that is? His name is Evan Jensen. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy. He's a psycho. And he goes after everybody that's got any reputation in the paranormal field, period.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he makes up whole things. In fact, if you look on there, there's probably one on there before that he wrote and used another guy named Kenny Biddle's name.
That's the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, Kenny Biddle didn't even write that. Me and Kenny Biddle are best friends. He's from Pennsylvania. And we were at a Paracon last year together and talked. He does a lot of ghost photography and stuff. I didn't even know it was written. He called me. I'm saying, "Hey, some psycho named Evan Jensen just wrote a bad review on one of your books and used my name as I did it." And he goes, "I didn't even write it." So I said, "No problem."
Oh,
problem.
Wow.
So this guy, you know, he goes after everybody. He's going after all the Ghost Adventures guys. He's going after the Ghost Hunters guys. He's going after... who else? He's going after David Roundtree. I mean, all the big names. I don't know. He's just got some kind of loose nut up in his head.
Yeah. I haven't talked to David Roundtree in a while, but apparently he's going to be on an episode of the new TV show that's coming out, Ghost Stalkers.
That is correct.
And that's pretty cool. I talked to him a while back when we first started the Debunker Boys, and we were going to bring him on our show, but some sort of complication came up, and we ended up not. I just laughed at the name Ghost Stalkers because it's almost like they're really reaching for new names for paranormal shows.
Oh yeah,
Ghost
well,
Stalkers.
Yeah, you heard that the new one is coming out. It's got I think it's four or five females, and they're all Playboy bunnies.
You're kidding.
No, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's supposed to be coming out sometime this fall. But it's supposed to be, I think it's either four or five former Playboy bunnies.
Wow. Well, I don't watch television, so I don't
well,
stay
I don't
up
watch
on
any
the whole...
of the shows.
You know,
I
was talking with Rob Demers, he literally blatantly stated that the paranormal media, you know, paranormal shows are dead. You know, you're not going to have any new ones that are actually going to go anywhere except, you know, besides Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. They have kind of monopolized the paranormal community on television. But a new one that's coming out that seems like it might, you know, be interesting is Amish Ghost Stories. Have you heard about that one?
Yeah, I've heard about that one, too. See, here's the problem with paranormal TV reality shows, because two of my mentors work in the entertainment field, so I know what I'm talking about. When you get on these shows, you don't have the right to your evidence or whatever. If you get nothing on these shows, the producers actually have a right to fake evidence so that they can create excitement.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We were very aware of that. Actually, Rob and I pitched the idea of Debunker Boys to a few producers, and they liked the idea, but they say it's not going to go anywhere because who wants a team to come into their establishment that they've already deemed as haunted for us to come in and prove that it's not haunted. And if we're going to do a show where it's going to produce paranormal evidence, you know, the producer said, well, how can you guarantee us that you're going to find paranormal evidence on every show?
And you can't.
And the true answer is you can't. But they want the kiss-ass answer saying, oh, yeah, we're going to find it here and we're going to find it there. There is no problem. Everywhere we go, there's going to be paranormal evidence. And that's ridiculous. You know, I understand television is for entertainment purposes only. And most of the ghost hunter equipment out there states, you know, for entertainment purposes only. That is so it can avoid a lot of lawsuits.
Well, even the one device, the obelisk
mm-hmm.
right on it says for entertainment purposes only. So how can you take that piece of equipment seriously if it's telling you right there it's for entertainment only?
Well, the reason they have to put it on there is for the idiots who buy it saying, yeah, this is going to find ghosts in my house. And, you know, they're sitting there and they're like, I didn't find one ghost. This thing is broken. And they try to sue the company. And the company goes, hey, listen, this is just a toy. This wasn't actually meant to find ghosts. You know, if you found a ghost with it, wow, right on.
One in a billion.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Rob and I are actually coming out with our own device. We've been researching. We've been doing a lot of research on Thomas Edison, and we've been finding a lot of underground information about him and what he was working on, and we've also been working with the Redive diode. Have you worked with that at all?
The Redive diode? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you know what? If you actually get something using the Radev diode, as you pronounce it, I say Radev. Maybe that's just too Americanized, but I spent 4 years in Missouri. So, but the Radev diode, if you use that properly and you get a phrase through your recorder, it is creepy because no words are supposed to come through that.
Exactly. Because all it does is create white.
It is really, really creepy. Rob and I are working on our device that we're hoping to get on the market by within the next year or two, and
Well,
we
good.
were
Let me know
playing
when
around
that
with
comes
it.
out.
It's we're tweaking it because we've been doing a lot of research on the different ITC devices out there, and we're trying to combine those all without becoming like a Melmeter, where the Melmeter is like five things into one, and bah, you got your ghost cell phone pretty much. But we're trying to perfect, almost recreate Thomas Edison's ghost phone, where you are
Right.
literally going to be able to have a real-time conversation with whatever you're trying to communicate with.
Right. Yeah, I think
So,
I even talked about it a little bit in my first book.
really,
Yeah, I touched a little bit
I
on Thomas
really want to
Edison.
read that. Yeah, I want to read about that. I would love to get your books. I just found out about you a couple of weeks ago, and so I but as soon as I found you, I was like, this guy is legit. This guy knows what he's talking about. I did my research on you, and then I came across your blog title or your blog entry, which I have been trying to get to this entire show, but for some reason I just keep rambling on and on. But it's called The Fallacy of Democratic Paranormal Sciences. And instead of reading this entire blog entry to our listeners, why don't you just go ahead and sum it up and why you wrote it?
Well, I mean, to sum it up, it's pretty, I guess you would say, self-explanatory. It's a pseudoscience, and it's going to be hardly ever be a mainline science because it's just there's no evidence to be able to back it up, no verified or valid evidence to be able to back it up.
Yeah. And it seems like, the paranormal community has kind of become stagnant in the last 10 years.
Yeah, the
And
research, there's no new research going on. It's all the same thing over again. It just keeps being regurgitated. And there's nothing out there or no one out there coming up with anything new, no new ideas. There's no new
we
research.
got we well one guy you should probably get in touch with. His name is Robert Veach. He's out of Chicago, and this guy actually came up with the he put together a Radev diode for Ghost Adventures to use in their episode. I'm trying to remember where they were at, but the episode where they used the Radev diode, and they didn't get any evidence through it, but Robert said that's because when he was putting this thing together and he gave it to them, he gave them the wrong one, the one that wasn't working properly. So but this guy is an inventor and engineer. He's always building new devices, and working and tweaking old devices to try to get them to work better. So you can find them
Yeah,
on my
you can make
Facebook
it
if you.
work better. You can make it work better, but it's still the same type of IDC work. You're still trying to use white noise as background to entice something paranormal or anomalous to come through that white noise. So it's really not anything different. It's still the same type of research. You're just building a new type of machine to do the same type of work. So
Well,
it's,
I'm
there's really no advancement in science.
no. There, I totally agree with you there. It's the paranormal community has really become stagnant, and I blame that on the television shows because a lot of people who I'm air quoting right now call themselves paranormal researchers take the television shows, and when I first started out, I was guilty of this too. And they take that as almost a checklist of how a paranormal investigation is supposed to go.
Exactly.
And yeah, but you look him up on my Facebook. He's in my friends list, Robert Veach, and just give him a ring or message him on message him right there on Facebook. This guy knows his stuff. He's always trying new things, and he's come up with some great devices. I'm not even gonna begin to try to explain them because I'm not an engineer myself, and that's like talking Egyptian for me.
Sometimes it gets over my head
actually,
too.
oh yeah. This Robert, my co-host. The device that we're working on, he's sitting there talking about how a radio is built, and I'm like, whoa. Say what? He's like, you gotta make the coil this tight and everything. I'm like, okay, I will just work on the frequency. You know, I'm really good with math. I'm horrible with building stuff. Anything electrical is like, goodness, you should have seen me with a Game Boy. I was like, you know. A
I'm the
monkey
same way.
trying
I'm not
to
very good at, I'm not a very good inventor, but when I, if I go to buy a new piece of equipment for my investigations, I will go to the inventor and I will ask him a million questions. It drives me crazy because I want to know exactly what that device does and why it does what it does.
Yeah. I hear you.
But like you were saying,
Yeah.
yeah, the majority, especially a lot of the new investigators out there, they watch the TV shows and think they know how to paranormal investigate. I go to a lot of para conferences, and when I was promoting my first book, Paranormal Investigations, I would have people come up to my table all the time. They asked me what my book was about. When I tell them, he goes, "Oh, I don't need that. I've seen Ghost Hunters. I've seen Ghost Adventures 1,000 times. I know how to investigate." I'm like, "Okay." And then I throw a quiz at them, like, "Well, what do you do with this type of equipment? What do you do with that?" And they're just looking at me like a deer in headlights. And I say, "Well, obviously you don't know how to investigate because you don't even know how to use your equipment properly."
I gotta ask you, what was your first experience? What was the thing that said, okay, I want to start looking for a ghost?
The home that my wife and I live in is my wife's grandparents' home. And my wife's grandmother died in the home in the second bedroom, so her spirit was here at the home. And so we used to have paranormal experiences in the home all the time. And me being a retired Marine, I'm hard-headed, I'm skeptical, I don't believe it. I had to have something in my face. So one day, my grandson that you just heard earlier, he was like, I think he was about 8 or 9 months old at the time, and it was just me and him in the house, nobody else. And we were in the living room, and on the one side we have our furniture. We have a long couch, and then right next to it was a old-fashioned recliner chair. It's the kind that somebody has to be sitting in it and use your legs to move the chair. I mean, it's one of those old-fashioned wooden type chairs, moves back and forth. So I'm feeding my grandson. Mm-hmm. I have my back to that chair, and my grandson's looking over my shoulder, and he's interacting with something behind me. Like he's waving out, like somebody's back there. I look back there. There's nothing there. All our animals outside. So on a whim, I just said out loud, I said, "Grandma, if that's you, can you move the chair towards us?" I no sooner said that, and the chair moves a 45-degree angle towards us. I'm like, okay. In my mind, I'm like, that's cool, but I still don't really, I'm not sure I believe. So I turn around and say, okay, Grandma, to convince me totally, if you can move that chair back to the original position, I'll believe. And as soon as I said that, the chair moved back to the original position, and I've been hooked ever since. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. I must have hit the mute button or something like that. But I say a lot of people are born to be paranormal investigators. I'm one of them. Back when I was a kid, I was over in my neighbor's house, which is a Victorian home that was built in 1865, and I started hearing footsteps above me, on the floor above me, and most people, knowing that no one else was in the home, I was there cleaning on my own, because that was my first job when I was 9, 10 years old, something like that. And most people, if they heard that, knowing no one else was in the home, they would have booked it out of there. But what did I do? I ran upstairs to try to figure out what that noise was. I had heard there was a ghost in there, but I had never experienced a ghost up until this point. But my first reaction was, let's go up there and figure out what this is. And ever since then, I've been hooked. Had you watched any ghost shows before that, or, you know, had some sort of education before that on the paranormal?
We were avid, at that time, we were avid watchers of the original Ghost, what is it? Not Ghost Adventures, but the other one.
Ghost Hunters?
Ghost Hunters. Yeah, we
Ghost
used to watch that one. Yeah, and my wife would always, you know, say, oh, I would love to get into that because my wife is an empath. And, she was interested since she was a kid. I wasn't. And so she was always saying, you know, I wish we could get into that or whatever. But it wasn't until after I had that incident with her grandmother and my grandson that we finally looked for a local team that taught and everything that we could get onto. And that's when we did. In 07, we got with that lady that taught a paranormal 101 class, and then we joined her.
Uh-huh. That's that is cool. That is really cool. You know, I love talking with people who know what they're doing, done the research on the paranormal field. Now, one last question I got to ask you before we get off here. This is your last test before you get the Debunker Boy stamp of approval. Do you consider yourself an expert in the paranormal field?
Oh, my goodness, no. There is no such thing as an expert. I mean, my mentor has been doing this thing for like 3 times longer than me, and they don't even know everything. So there's always something else
All
to do
right.
to learn.
Oh my goodness! I wish Robert was here. We'd both be applauding you right here. You get the Debunker Boy stamp of approval. You're awesome. And if we had our T-shirts made out right now, I would send you one, and you could wear the Debunker Boy official T-shirt.
Well, when you get
but,
them, send me one. I'd be glad to wear it.
We're working on it. We're working on it. I've got a few different printing companies design companies that are going to produce or make them. I just need to go with the cheapest one that is going to produce the quality t-shirt that we want. And they're not, you know, even at that price, they're still not cheap. So, non-paranormal, I want to go military on this one. Do you ever, like, being medically retired, you being, you know, actually retired and everything, whoever antsy, like, I need to get back to work?
Sometimes. It's less and less each year, but every once in a while, I have a lot of my buddies that I was in the military with on Facebook and stuff, and we'll be talking and reminiscing on old, you know, on old stuff that we used to do and everything, and you get that feeling that you want to get back in there and do it again. But then,
oh yeah,
with me, I'm 51 years old. I'm like, no. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, this hurts, that hurts, and I'm like, nah, not a good idea.
You know, I always miss it. I miss the hell out of it. You know, the motivation, the getting out there in the field, and the thing I miss the most is deployment. But every time I miss it, I think back to waking up at 4:30 in the morning and hearing the loudspeakers start with the 82nd Airborne Choir, and thinking of running down, up and down in our dens in 32-degree weather in shorts and a T-shirt. And I'm like, nope, I don't want to do that again.
That's me. I'm like, nah, I've done that. Let the younger guys do it now.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you, Chad, being on my show being patient with me. Yeah. So all the listeners out there, check him out, Chad Stambog. His last name is spelled Stambaugh. I will put a link on my Facebook, on the Debunker Boys page, on the URN page, wherever you are clicking on this to listen from, so you can find his books, find his radio shows, and you can find this guy. This guy is awesome, and he, like I said multiple times, he's got the Debunker Boys stamp of approval. And check him out, buy his book. I know I'm going to buy his book, and I'm going to read it front to back, and I'm going to put my own reviews on it. And that's about all I got to say about you, Chad. I'm trying to glorify you here. But
now, I got a third book coming out late spring, so you want to get ready for that one too.
Oh, really? What's that called?
It's called Beyond the Veil, The Hidden Truth Between God, Man, and Ghost. What it is I've done research and everything on the fallacy of the Bible and how it actually does talk about ghosts, and how the Bible was actually written off of a lot of pagan values.
You know, that I've got to read that. I call myself a born again atheist. I grew up in a strong Christian home and everything like that, and I kind of branched off into my own beliefs, and that led into the beliefs that I have now. And I hate getting into arguments with people who sit there and talk about how the Bible is historical documentation and this and that, and the fallacies within the Bible itself, historically and, you know, authentically. But that sounds exciting. That really sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be very controversial, and it's going to blow a lot of people away.
You know, that's one question I did not ask you, and you know, I've got plenty of time. What? Okay. This is like asking, but I've already figured it out. You're a Republican, am I correct?
Actually, no, I have no affiliation. I'm a conservative, but
no.
I don't have. I do not follow any specific party.
Okay. I just figured that since you said Democratic paranormal investigation, I figured you know you just got to lean the other way, but your religious views, do you tie those in? Are you a religious man?
I am a spiritual man, but I do not follow organized religion because I feel organized religion has hidden the truth from us. And all organized religion tries to do is control man and what his knowledge and what he should be able to do and not do.
Okay, all right. That answers a lot of questions out there, because I'm going to get a lot of messages about this, like, you didn't ask him this and you didn't ask him that, but we have a lot of problem with religion tying into how people do paranormal investigations and how people tie in demons to certain religions and this and that, you know, everything being either negative, you know, negative, evil, that sort of thing. It needs, you know, the Catholicism way of ridding a demon and everything. And that, honestly, that is a huge headache. And that is,
and that's
I don't
one of
know
the
how many
why
shows
I'm writing the
could.
Book.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the reasons why I'm writing the book Beyond the Veil, is to actually disprove and show the fallacy of a lot of those thought processes and where those thought processes came from.
You got a lot more time on your hands than I do to write a book like that.
Well, like I said, I'm retired, so I really don't have to work or anything during the day. So I do a lot of research and a lot of writing.
You know what? I'm gonna be the first one. You make sure to message me on Facebook when that book is finalized, published, and everything, and I will buy your first copy.
I will do that.
All right. I appreciate you, Chad, for being on the show. We're just shy of an hour. This guy's awesome. He took the time to sit down and talk with me rather than just, you know, having both Robert and I. And he's an awesome guy. Check out his books. Go find them. Buy them. Do whatever you got to do to get them, and read up on him. And we hopefully will have you on the show after you publish your third book, and we can talk about that. Sound good, Chad?
Sounds good. Anytime.
All right. Well, this is the Debunker Boys signing off. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have an awesome night.